Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, and welcome to another Travel Times episode of Trundlebed Tales podcast. And what that means is we look at either travel opportunities or interesting hobbies that people might be interested in. And today's, I think, qualifies in spades. We're going to be talking with Robin Robinson about the roller derby. But before we get to that, we have just a little bit of housekeeping. First off, if anybody has a question for Robin, you can do that either by going into the chat room and asking the question there, or you can call in at 714-242-5253. That's 714-242-5253, or toll-free 1-877-633-9389. That's 1-877-633-9389. And you can also, besides calling in to ask questions, you can use those same numbers if you're out and about during one of the shows they're on and you want to listen live but you don't have your computer handy, and you can also just listen through your phone. And for upcoming episodes, we've got a few scheduled. The one that I wanted to be sure to point out is we are having Julie Williams, who appeared on here talking about Carrie Ingalls' career as a print woman. She has a relative who actually survived the Titanic, and she's written a book about it, A Rare Titanic Family. And so she's going to be back to talk about that on April 17th at the same times as we normally air, which again is 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, and 7 o'clock Pacific Time. So I hope that you'll all be back to join me then. But I think for the moment, that's all we have for housekeeping. And we're going to go back to Robin. Welcome to the show, Robin. Thank you for coming on.
Great. Thank you.
So
I'm excited to talk about Derby.
Well, I'm always glad to have somebody on that I know. And Robin actually went all the way through school with me, and we were in 4-H together and everything. So I was kind of surprised when she ended up doing roller derby, although she was always very athletic. So do you want to just tell people a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Just briefly, I'm a mother of ice garden, help coach my kids' sports, softball, baseball teams. I work as a grant coordinator for Linn County, Early Childhood Iowa. And, of course, why I'm here today and talking to you again is I play roller derby. My roller derby name is Cindy Whopper. So, and I do remember our 4-H days. Great memories about making mice out of pears and a picture frame that I think I did okay on. And, yeah, some good memories there.
Yeah, the pear mice is one of our joint presentations that we did. So, so Cindy Whopper, how'd you come up with that name?
My name? A new group of girls to a roller derby team is called the Fresh Meat Class, because we take a little bit of a beating as you learn to play the sport. Anyway, after a practice one night, a few of my fellow classmates and I went to local Pancheros and were talking about what we name ourselves. And it's really kind of tricky to figure out if to rename yourself what would be. And in the fun world of derby, different things crossed my mind. But I just kind of went someone of the time when I growing up, and that'd be Cindy Whopper. And, you know, girls just want to have fun. So, someone from the 80s.
Well, how did roller derby get started?
Well, Derby's had a couple starts. The earliest start was about in the 30s, and I know more about the resurgence, but this first combined dance marathons with roller skating, it became sort of a marathon roller skating race.
Huh.
It was co-ed at that time to help draw more folks in. And as it progressed, the skaters developed personalities and characters, which led to storylines that were really fake. And so it really turned out to be more of a show than a sport, especially with the invention of television, when it got more attention there. It really had ups and downs, ebbs and flows, until that piece really died out in about 73. In the 80s, they had a roller jam that was like kind of like American Gladiators on rollerblades, super, really cheesy, lots of spandex. And at one point, there was like an alligator pit. So kind of like the WWE sort of fake stuff, but that didn't last too long. That was, again, co-ed and trying to boost rates for TV and less about the sport. And sort of the resurgence of Derby was more in the early 2000s, like 2001. This version of Derby started up in Texas, and it was there's actually a documentary, Hell on Wheels, the movie. There, if you go to hellonwheelsthemovie.com, you can learn more about that. But they followed this Texas Derby team, and it was really this one guy's idea of using women to kind of bring about financial income for himself. And he kind of started things up and got girls on board, and he left them high and dry when things got turned not so good. But
the girls
were determined and connected by their bonds to continue on and really make this more about women and being strong in the sport of derby. And so they continued on, and that's kind of the do-it-yourself spirit of the sport, and that still exists today. And there was a crucial point in that where one team, the philosophy and the ideals of the whole team were not the same, and they split. One went one direction, the other was the beginning of what now is with the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, sort of the roadmap to that direction of having rules and you know, certain set of rules to follow by and play and just kind of respect the players and so on.
It makes it more directed to
Sorry, I didn't hear that part.
Oh, is there something that makes it more suited to having female participants?
Well, that restart was really the women sort of getting sick of being pushed around and really wanting to have their own league. But even within the female leagues, there's male referees and there's folks that support the teams and so on. And there's actually men's roller derby association. It's MRDA. There's 20 teams nationwide. Two actually are in Iowa, the Corn Stalkers in Sioux City, and your mom out of Des Moines. And I got the honor of reffing one of the Corn Stalkers matches, or bouts, I should say. And that was fun. And I've seen the Your Mom team play in Des Moines, and I knew a guy from Cedar Rapids that played on that team too.
So is there any limits about who can participate actively as a skater?
As a skater, anyone with a desire to play derby can try out for a team, and each team would announce those tryout times. Not everybody, people will realize if it's really suited for them or not. They need to be, each team's a little bit different, but basically female, 18 years of age, and have insurance, which is a good requirement to have. But like I said, refs can be on a team. The one bout, which is the match or the game for roller derby, takes a lot of bodies to put on. There's a max maximum of 7 referees needed, and there's non-skating officials to help with the score and the penalties and penalty box and so on, and then just folks to help get folks in the door and sell merch and all sorts of things. So anyone can really be a part of a derby team. There's a place in derby for everyone. That's the beauty of roller derby. It's come as you are, be who you are, and you'll find a place.
Well, it sounds like you really, it's quite a production with a lot of people for the team, but that's a good thing because it's nice that people can be involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you take up being part of the derby?
Well, on St. Patrick's Day, for the last so many St. Patrick's Days, me, friends, family, we go watch the parade, and I'd say 2008 and 2009, we got some flyers about the Cedar Rapids Roller Girls, and my cousins and friends, and we joked that we should start our own team. We had enough family to do that, and then when it came down to it, a cousin and I actually tried out for the Cedar Rapids team in July of 2009 and made the team and just kind of kept showing up for practice and then just started playing. And I played the full season for 2010 for the Cedar Rapids Roller Girls. I think the reason why we tried it, it was just something different and it sounded fun. It was for women. I'm not getting any younger, so I wanted to see, you mentioned that I was athletic in high school, and I like to think that I was, but that was so many years ago, 20. So
for me, watch it.
Yeah, or I shouldn't say that. I'm actually proud of that and the wisdom that comes with that, but yeah, just kind of wanted to see what it was all about and what I could still do. And I really enjoyed being part of the team and back in the day. So, and that exists within derby too. So that's pretty cool.
Are there basic rules sort of how the sport works?
And I'll just add that I retired after the 2010 season and reffed a little bit in 2011. And then it's hard to stay away from roller derby because it's a huge network of females not only on your team, but the teams that you play. So I was drawn back into the mix. In 2011, I tried out in December for the Iowa City team and made that. And that's where I'm at now, is with the Old Capital City Roller Girls.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but you asked a question about basic rules.
Yeah.
You want me to go on? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are different styles of play. There's bank track, which folks might remember back watching on TV. There's flat track, which both Iowa City and Cedar Rapids participate in. And there are renegade leagues that they show up and agree on rules and play. Iowa City is part of WFDA, which is Women's Flat Track Derby Association, and that's you need to apply for apprenticeship to be in that league, and they are now full WFDA, and that's a good thing. And then Cedar Rapids is an apprentice in that association. So, and that's the whole set of rules, and you agree, and you play hard, and you play tough, but you play within the rules. It's not it's a good show the way it is within the sport of derby. It's, you know, you can have fun within that, but it's none of the stage stuff that people might remember on TV in the past.
So what is the sort of the basic goal? You're skating around, and I know you bump into each other, but are you trying to make a goal or get a ball, or are you just trying to make it around on your feet?
Right. Basically, there's 5 players per team out on the track, unless, of course, somebody's in the penalty box, but 5 versus 5, and 4 players per team are blockers. So that would be the group of folks that stop what is called the 5th player, the jammer. They try to stop the jammer from the other team from getting through the group of blockers, because the jammer, they wear a panty on their head, like a cover with a star that signifies that they're the point scorer. That jammer starts on a separate whistle, and they try to get through the group of blockers. It's called a pack. Once they do that one time and skate back around, they can start scoring points. So if I want to get my jammer through, but I don't want the other jammer to get through. And then what it means is if a jammer does, after that first pass through, get through again, they get a point per each person they pass. It's, and a point is considered once they pass the hips of an opposing team player. So that's the point scoring. It's and then what happens, it's there's two 30-minute periods, and then there's the first 30 minutes, a half, and then the second 30 minutes. Within the 30-minute periods, there's two-minute jams. So I'm throwing a lot of numbers here, so if there are questions, feel free to ask. Within the 2 minutes, each jammer tries to score as much as she can. And the jammer that goes through the first pass first without making any penalties is the lead jammer, and she can call off that two-minute jam early. And it's all point differential, so whoever has the most points at the end, the very end, wins. So say a jammer gets through the first pass and then comes around through the second pass, they'll score 4 points if they didn't pass the other jammer, and she can call the jam off before the second jammer tries to get through on that scoring pass. So then one jammer would have 4 and the other maybe 0. So there's a lot of
kind of strategy with it too, about timing, yeah, and things.
Right. There's a lot of different strategies. And if you have blockers in the penalty box, or if the other jammer's out, and just if you know the other team, you play their weaknesses and things. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot going on. It's kind of like football and track all at the same time while rolling, you know. So it's pretty dynamic.
Do scores tend to be high like basketball or lower like football?
It depends on the teams. It's not uncommon to get 100 points for each team. Or if one team is really skilled, they could get 300 points and the other team 20. And it could look like a real solid match, but it's just the points. Maybe the 300 to 20 isn't a real solid-looking match, but it could look like a close matchup between teams, and the points difference could be, 100. Just because there's a lot of good blocking, a lot of good stuff going on, it's just that one team's jammer is just getting around more.
Okay, just as for curiosity's sake, your skates, are they the inline kind or are they the four-wheel kind?
They're the quad skates. Skaters must use the quad skates, and I believe that's a safety issue. You're more balanced, so you can give a hit, take a hit, and if you're jumping and moving side to side, it's just balanced. Referees can wear inline skates, and that's not an issue. There's also referees that don't need skates, and they can just wear tiny. So, yeah, quad skates, definitely.
Okay. Well, that's good because, I couldn't even make it on the quad ones, but I always find it interesting. It's a fairly physical sport. Do you use much for safety equipment?
Yep, we do, definitely. My understanding from what I've read about derby is not all the equipment was required all along. But we use a helmet, mouth guard, wrist guards, elbow, and knee pads. And you might ask about the mouth guard. I found that if I didn't have a mouth guard in one day, I would have had chipped teeth because we play not only flat track, but it's often concrete floor. So,
ugh.
Definitely. Yeah.
Have you been hurt?
I have. You might recall back from the high school days, I had some knee issues and wore braces back then, so I wear those, and being of my age, my knees do give me problems from time to time, so I just need to pay attention to that. Bruises, I bruise pretty easily, and I maintain or retain those bruises often. Just this year, I had a bruise from my hip to almost knee, and it was about every color you could think of. I had fallen on someone's skate as it was turned on its side. And you could actually see the wheel in my hip. Yeah. And it healed, but I still have, like, thick, it's probably scar tissue there. So definitely, people get injured. It's kind of like when I took a motorcycle safety class. It's not when you're going to have an accident, or it's not if you're going to have an accident, it's when. It's kind of the same with derby. Something's going to come up. And unfortunately, you know, that's something, you know, the whole bruise piece is something that I could walk away from. And most folks, you know, if they get hurt, they come back. And it doesn't take them out. But there are some folks that, you know, because of an injury, they aren't able to skate. And we're fortunate enough to have those folks stick around and be a part of the team still. So in some other fashion, like coaching or, you know, helping with bout production.
It sounds like you think it's worth it, though, in spite of the risk of getting hurt.
Well, I'm sure it's a certain mindset. I think a bruise in derby is kind of a reminder that your buddies on the track are waiting for you the next time you can get back. I guess playing sports growing up, it was part of it. I know the one I explained was kind of a big bruise. You know, it wasn't a broken bone, anything like that. But it's probably a different mentality. But I think there's this derby, it's kind of cheesy, derby love or derby connectedness that makes you want to get back into action. You know, at least be going to practices and hanging out with your buddies. Because it's all skater run. And so you're a cog in the wheel, you know, to help support the rest of the team, not yourself.
So are they like, it sounds like they're all amateurs, even though they do have a league, is that right? Or do you get, or are there pro teams?
I would say the WIFTA accreditation process, the teams in that, there's a national championship, and I'm not sure how folks label themselves. I've seen the amateur name put there. I don't believe it's professional, but there's such a skill level, you know, from the skill level in Iowa and then also what I've seen at the Nationals. I went to Nationals in Chicago 2 years ago. It's just phenomenal. And I haven't read about it myself, but I've heard you have some Olympic level speed skaters, you know, participating. And so you do have some phenomenal athletes out there, if they're professional or not. And then this last year, or 2011 Nationals was in Denver, Colorado. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing to see these women, because I think, boy, I'm good, and then I like get matched up. I, you know, see these people playing. I'm like, wow, it's a whole different level in my mind.
Yeah, well, amateur just basically means you need more help to put it on because they aren't making a lot of money, I think. But
yeah, that was more of the question. Yeah, one. Both teams I've been on, it's the individuals on the team supporting the league. It's, you know, and the league can, you know, if we make enough money, then maybe they'll help buy uniforms or something. You know, the league does try to watch out for its members, but definitely no one's paid that I'm aware of, and I don't think anyone's paid to put on the bout production. I do believe that is all volunteer. You know, it's blood, sweat, and tears. Do it yourself, spirit. You know. So I guess by that definition, we're all skilled amateurs.
Yeah. If people are interested in watching a bout, you said they call them bouts, right?
Yes, it's a bout.
Okay. If they're interested in watching a bout, can they do that?
Definitely, absolutely. And I just want to clarify from your last question, when I'm talking about us as skilled amateurs, I know for sure for Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, it might be a different case elsewhere, but I believe most of the folks are volunteers, at least here in Iowa. So, but about what was your question, Sarah? Sorry.
No, that's all right. I was just asking if people were interested in watching about.
Oh yeah.
Can they do that?
Yeah, definitely. There's an internet site called DerbyNewsNetwork.com, and they have live streaming of bouts, and they have bouts available 24/7, some archived. So definitely you can go there. So, and if I wasn't able to go to the Nationals last year or the year before, I could have watched online. I do have to say there's nothing like being there in person because you can see, you know, there's just so much more going on. So support your local Derby girls. Like when I was at Nationals this last year, there are some of the national team members on that were the Ole Rollers, and they're like one row ahead of me, and I just wanted to reach out and, you know, hey, you know, touch them. It's just corny as heck because I'm, what, 38 now? But it's so cool. In Derby, everyone's so accessible. And at the end of each bout, both teams will skate around the oval and give anybody who's standing there five. And everybody, the tradition is to go up and, you know, congratulate the team, win or lose. It's pretty cool. So definitely Derby girls are accessible to their fan base. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, that is really nice. So if they wanted to watch a live game, does the Derby News site have a schedule too, or do they just have to find a local team and see what's going on?
You can do both. Derby News Network has a listing. I can't think. I would say they have a listing of what's going on or what they're showing. For sure, your local, I would go to your local, like Iowa City, you know, or whatever team locally to see a schedule, because not every game, is live streamed. Some, like Minnesota, might do their own live streaming on their own site. I've watched the old Capital City Roller Girls play the Minnesota Roller Girls, and Minnesota had their own live streaming. So not every Derby bout is going to be on Derby News Network, but if I do a little of both.
Are there a lot of teams around Iowa?
Yeah, there are. There are about 12. And let's see, there's two in Des Moines, one in Iowa City, a couple in Cedar Rapids, Dubuque, Sioux City. Sioux City has the men's and women's, and actually back to Des Moines, they have a men's team too. Clinton, Quad Cities, Marshalltown, Humboldt, Dakota City is one, and Cedar Valley is up in Cedar Falls.
So a good spread around the state.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a sports card?
I do. I have a sports card from the Cedar Rapids Roller Girls with Cindy Wobber, me on the front. And then my statistics on the back have to do with hair, eyes. You know, hair would be recovered Aquanet addict. Eyes would be of the tiger. Occupation, kind of the same things I mentioned before. Inspiration for Derby. Oh, we talked about Cindy Lauper. My first bout was July 2009, when we went to Sioux City, which I actually got MVP of that bout, ironically. And then my position put me in. I block. I used to GM more, but I block more so now. Let's see. Bobby skating 10 miles uphill without changing the color of my hypercolor t-shirt. So all 80s references. with Iowa City, we don't have cards, but we do a lot of fun things. We paint bruises on kids' eyes or put tattoos, and then we have color sheets of all the Derby gals that are playing, and so kids can get those. And kids, I believe, 10 and up free to the bout in for out, so, you know, help reduce the costs and make it. And it is definitely a family-friendly event. So, and we'd love to get cards with IB as well, but we do other things.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of fun and a great community spirit. And can you believe it? That has been 29 minutes.
Wow, we are already there. Yeah.
Yeah, we are. Well, I want to thank you again for coming on, Robin, and I'm sure everybody got a new appreciation for roller derby. It certainly isn't just the 50s hijinks that we saw on the TV, it sounds like. And it sounds like something that everybody should check out, and they can either participate or listen up, so I hope everybody does that. So thank you, Robin.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I'll just say that the Iowa City, Old Capital City Roller Girls.com, you can check us out there. The next home bout is May 26th at the Coralville Marriott at 7, so that'd be an opportunity. And Sarah, thank you. It's been great to reconnect with you and to talk about one of my favorite things to do, and that's derby. I appreciate it.
Oh, I was glad to have you on. So thanks, Robin. And I want everybody else, since we're almost out of time, to remember, tune back in April 17th for talking about the Titanic family. Thank you.